Well, hey, good morning, everybody. Looking excited to continue our Psalms of Praise sermon series this morning. Psalms of Praise is what we're talking about this morning, but Prayers from the Psalms is our sermon series. And as I was preparing this week, thinking about Psalms of Praise, and as I was reading through the different praise psalms, all I could hear in my head all week was the voice of Joel Forsberg saying, "Praise the Lord." And I'm going to tell you why. Joel had a unique experience this week, and we're going to watch a short video so you can share in Joel praising the Lord this week as well.
Tell the story.
Okay, guys. Okay, so Josh, show me your pole, Josh. Josh went into town and got this little ultralight pole, okay? He got the monofilament and the Fire Tiger jig that I was using earlier, and he's gotten like 7 or 8 fish out here.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, right off the bat. Like, and now he's kings to him. Yeah. So I'm like, man, I wish I had an ultralight pole just like you now. Because I'm not feeling it. And he's like, I can feel it. Any little bite, I feel it. I'm like, well, can I use your pole, Josh, after you caught like 8 fish? He's like, sure. He goes, cast right out there. So I
straight out that.
I cast straight out there, and I'm pulling it in, and I'm with his little pole, I'm pulling it in, pulling it in. What do I pull in? I pull in an ultralight pole, exactly like his, exact same line with a monofilament. God loves me. As I'm fishing with his pole, I'm like, man, I really love a little ultralight pole like he's got right now.
Yeah.
And I pulled this thing in.
Yeah.
Nobody.
That's a super ultralight. That's super ultralight.
I put my Fire Tiger, and now him and I are going to slay the fish together. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
There you go. God just gave you a birthday present.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Isn't that hilarious? I mean, if you had told me that somebody in our church was going to have a longing for an ultralight fishing rod, and they were immediately going to pull it up from the bottom of the lake on their birthday, I would have immediately said to you, that is Joel Forsberg. That is the only person that will ever happen to. So it's just so funny, and you can imagine why. Now, while I could hear was Joel's voice all week in my head saying, praise the Lord, as I was reading through the praise psalms and preparing for this message. So this morning, we're looking at these Psalms of Praise, and specifically we're going to read through Psalm 115 together in a minute. Psalm 115 is interesting because it is part of what they call the Hallel Psalms, which is the set of Psalms 113 to 18, which were read and sung during the Passover and other significant times of celebration. So it's interesting when you think about it, when we read in the Gospels that at the Passover meal, at the Last Supper, when the disciples and Jesus sang a hymn together before they went out, it would have been one of these hymns in all likelihood. So that's something to think about as we read through it together. This psalm it's liturgical in nature, and it was sung or read antiphonally often in alternating groups of worship with the priests and the high priest and the people and so on. So I thought we'd try that together this morning just to engage you guys a bit more in the message. We're going to read through Psalm 115 together. Richie's going to have the words up on the screen for you, and I'm going to read the regular text, and you are going to read the bold part, and you are going to hear my good friend Jared's disembodied voice reading the bold part so that he can keep us all together, all right? So let's read this together. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness.
Why do the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. But their idols are silver and gold, made by human hands.
They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses but cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, feet but cannot walk, nor can they utter a sound with their throats.
Those who make them will be like them, and so all trust in them.
All you Israelites, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. House of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. Those who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield.
The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless his people as well. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike.
May the Lord cause you to flourish, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to mankind.
It is not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to the place of silence. It is we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Thank you for participating in that with me. And today, as we talk about the Psalms of Praise, I want to do two things in the short time that we have together this morning. One is I want to talk a little bit about one of the questions that often arises as we look at particularly Psalms of Praise and the command over and over again in Scripture to praise the Lord. But then I want to really focus on most of our time talking about the benefits of praising the Lord that we don't often think about or consider. And so we're going to spend most of our time on that. But first, I want to talk about a question that often arises when we talk about praising the Lord. It's often brought up by those who are critical of the faith or non-believers. And the question's this: is God really just the ultimate narcissist? Is God just the ultimate narcissist? We're commanded over and over and over in Scripture that he demands praise and worship, which if you and I were to do that, it would be disturbing behavior if your friends were to demand your praise and worship constantly. And we see often in Scripture that God doesn't do things that we might normally associate with humility. I mean, do you ever see anywhere in Scripture where God says something along the lines of, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you for all the praise, but, you know, I really couldn't have done it myself. I had a lot of help. God never does that, does he? In fact, you read in the book of Job and other places where he'll go on for chapters and chapters and chapters talking about how great he is and all the great things that he has done. And it's caused some people, like the late Richard Dawkins, who wrote an article called God's Psychological Profile, where he talked about how would a psychologist profile God's personality. And he says this: the following is what I think would be high on their list. Narcissism. God likes to be praised. If you don't praise him, he will either kill you, send you to hell, or excommunicate you. So there's this view that God is the ultimate narcissist. And does this repeated commandment to praise the Lord make him a narcissist? Well, not so much, I don't think. For one, when we're praising the Lord and when God is demanding praise from us, it's actually the truth about him. A narcissist has this delusional sense of self-importance. There's someone who understands themselves as the greatest conceivable being, and we would probably consider them insane. He sees the world as we want to see him in a way that's not in accord with reality. But when it comes to God, it is reality. We are talking about the truth, and it is actually the definition of sanity to tell things as they are with clarity. God is perfect. He is all-powerful. He is the only uncreated being who is fine within himself. This is the truth about God. We also forget one thing, one of the central mysteries of Christianity is that God is Trinity. God's not like us. He is one person who is three persons in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who have perfect love and unity and honoring of one another, bringing glory to himself and one another within this Trinity, perfect self-sacrificial love within three persons that is God. And God is perfect self-sacrificial love. Now, if you think about God, God plus anything is unneeded. God is self-sufficient. There is nothing greater than God by himself alone. And so this means when God creates us, it's not out of need, it's out of love. He creates us so that he can share a relationship with us. He can share his greatness and his love with us. And we're invited into this relationship that the Trinity has. So it's out of love that God creates us, not out of a narcissism or a need that he has. It's out of love. And when we think about, when you look through the Scriptures and you look at all the commands to praise, you will find that all the commandments to praise are in the context of the writer telling about some wonderful thing that God has done for them. And so, also we think about self-sacrificial love, then God becomes one of us, right? And he gives his life up for us. And so, when God commands our praise, it's not for some narcissistic need that he has, but it's for our good. When we enter into praise, we enter into relationship with him. It's an increase of joy and love and truth in our lives and in the world. And in fact, when you look at God and some of these things we've talked about, there's a lot more we could say. God is actually the textbook opposite of narcissism. He is perfect, self-sacrificial love. And when he demands our praise, it is actually for our own good, which is what we want to talk about now. I want to talk about the benefits of praising the Lord that we don't think about that much. So when we praise him because he's worthy, because of who he is. But we praise him because it also benefits us. Firstly, when we praise the Lord, praise brings hope. It brings hope into our lives as we focus on the truths about God and who he is. Hope rises in our lives and gives us perspective on reality. Psalms 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy." Timothy Keller, author and pastor, in his book, The Songs of Jesus, writes, "The Psalms help us see God not as we wish or hope him to be, but as he actually reveals himself. The descriptions of God in the Psalms are rich beyond human invention. He is more holy, wise, fearsome, tender, and loving than we ever imagined him to be. And the Psalms fire our imagination into new realms and guide them toward the God who actually exists." And this brings reality to our prayer lives like nothing else can. Sometimes engaging in the Psalms of praise and engaging in praise is like one of my favorite experiences. I don't know about you, if you've ever taken off on a plane on a cloudy or snowy day, and when you break through those clouds and you get up above the clouds and you just see this beautiful, expansive blue horizon and the full sunshine, isn't that a wonderful feeling? And that's what it's like when we praise God and we dwell on the realities of who he is. It takes us into above our circumstances and into the beauty and the reality of life as it truly is. Reminds me also of the story of Elijah and Elisha. You may recall when Elijah prays and asks that Elisha's eyes would be opened up so that he could see the armies of heaven compared to those who are against them. And he sees the hillsides covered with angels and the armies of the Lord. When our eyes are open and we see reality for what it really is. Is it any wonder that the writers of the Psalms say, "If God is for me, who could be against me? What have I to fear?" This is what the Psalms of praise do for us. They breed hope in our lives. And secondly, the Psalms of praise, or praise, develops intimacy. Praise develops intimacy. And, you know, many of us who are married, you know, you've read books about love languages and stuff and how people like to be addressed. And we see in the scripture that praise is the prescription for how we approach God. In Psalms 95, it says, "Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise." Psalms 100 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name." And of course, when Jesus taught us how to pray, how does he start? He starts with praise. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." And of course, he closes with praise too. "Your kingdom come, your will be done. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory." Then we see in Hebrews 13, "Through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, acknowledging his name. And do not neglect to do good and share what you have. For God is pleased with such sacrifices." And so in our relationship to God, this element of praise brings forth intimacy. It draws us close to him as we enter into his presence. And also, this idea of praise developing intimacy, we see in the passage that we read in Psalm 115. It says, "Those who make them," talking about idols, "those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them." And there's this kind of charismatic truism that we often say, that you become what you behold. The things that are the focus of your praise, the things that you esteem, you become like those things. You're drawn towards those things. There's been scientific experiments that prove this true. The things that we extol, the things that we praise, wire our brain to desire those things or to be like those things. And so when we praise God for who he is and what he has done, it draws us to him to be like him and to be with him. So praise develops intimacy. Thirdly, praise develops health. believe it or not. Praise develops health. In Isaiah 26, we read this: "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Talking about inner peace that comes by staying focused on God. And it's interesting, I've read a whole pile of scientific studies this past week. There's been innumerable studies that talk about the benefits of mental and physical health when it comes to both just giving compliments, but in praising and extolling things. It lifts our spirit. It engages the reward in the brain. And it's true. It's actually true what we read in Scripture, that it's better to give than to receive. The one who praises, the one who gives compliments, actually benefits more than the one who is receiving, physically and mentally. It improves our physical health. It reduces inflammation in the body, if you can believe that. It improves our mental health. When we have an attitude of praise and thanksgiving, it blocks toxic emotions like envy, resentment, regret, and depression, which can destroy our happiness. And gratitude is found to have 23% lower levels of stress hormones in the body, those who practice gratitude and praise. It improves sleep. It helps overcome trauma. They've done tests with those who are suffering from PTSD. So it gives you this fresh perspective when the scriptures tell us in Nehemiah and elsewhere that the joy of the Lord is our strength. It really is our physical and mental well-being. When we praise the Lord for who he is and remember his benefits, it has an incredible benefit to us mentally and physically. So praise brings health. And then lastly, praise invites power. Praise invites power. It paves the way for his power to move, for miracles to happen, and spiritual enemies to flee. Now, as a preacher, I just have to admit, this is a bit of a weird one. It's a bit of a weird one because we're not witch doctors and we're not shamans. God's not beholden to us, so if we rattle the bones right or we do the right dance, God's required to do a certain thing. In fact, in verse 3, Psalm 115 that we read, it says he's in the heavens and he does what he pleases. So God does what he's going to do, and yet we also read in Psalm 115 that he's our help and our shield. He'll bless those who fear him. And all through the scriptures, you see this correlation between praise and the power of God moving. So while we can't engineer it, the scriptures don't break it down for us. You know, we're kind of a contractual people, aren't we? You know, as Americans, we really like things to be laid out. So, God, if I'm gonna tithe, I'm gonna go to church, I'm gonna obey your laws, and then in return, you're gonna do this for me. And these things just don't work that way. But we see this correlation all through scripture of praise and the presence and power of God being associated with it. Give you a couple of prime examples. In Acts 16, it says, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds unfastened." 2 Chronicles 20, "As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated." 2 Chronicles 5, "The trumpeters and the singers joined in unison as with one voice to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, 'He is good. His love endures forever.' And then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God." And we could go on and on. There's all these examples in Scripture where when we praise him, his power and his presence show up. And there's this correlation. So praise invites power and the move of God into our life. So as we think about him, about hope and intimacy and health and power, is it any surprise that Paul tells us in Philippians 4, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of respect, whatever is just, pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if something is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things." His praise is not the outflow of subservience to a narcissistic God. It's a rejoicing in the testimony and the truth of who God is. And as we praise him for who he really is, it boomerangs back onto us. It brings us hope that lightens our heart. It bonds us relationally to the Lord, brings us closer to him, and conforms us into his image. It brings us health in the inner man, in the mental and in the physical, and it invites his presence and power into our life. We are as much, if not more, the beneficiaries of giving praise to God than he is. And yet we live in a culture where mocking, sarcasm, outrage, and critique of others is valued and encouraged. And those things kill the soul. So we have to be so intentional in praise, in making that our primary disposition in our relationship with God and in life. Because the praise, the Psalms of praise that we're talking about, they give us this written record of his attributes and his acts. And we can use these Psalms of praise to help fuel that in our life, to give us language, to ignite our own prayer, because it fuels our mind and our prayers of praise, so we can reap these benefits that God intends for us. And isn't that a wonderful thing, that God has designed us that way and commanded our praise for him for our own benefit? And let's not forget that. So we're going to invite the worship band to come up as we close. And just as we're closing, when I was prepping for the message this week, as I was praying, I always pray, you know, God, give me something life-giving to share with the people this week and not just a message that I've put together. And as I was prepping for the sermon this week, and as I was praying, I had this overwhelming sense of weariness come over me as I was praying. Just a weariness with life, a darkness, almost like a little dark cloud. And as I was prepping, as I was then, after that, just reading through the Psalms of praise, trying to put a sermon together, that feeling just lifted off. This just lifted off of me. It was like the sun. It's like the sun came out, and it's kind of a weird little thing. And then I realized that might be prophetic. It might be prophetic. It might be for someone today that, as I was praying, that God answered my prayer about what message to bring this morning. And just thinking that some of you out there, most of us probably doing just fine, but some of you this morning might be weary with life. You might be weary with life, and you might be thinking, you know, in the grand scheme of things, as we go through our quarantine and what's going on in life right now, not that big a deal in the grand scheme of human history, right? But I think God wants to say this morning that he sees it. The little things, the vacations that have been lost, or the graduations canceled, or the kids not doing well in school because of distance learning. These little things, they matter. They matter to God, and perhaps it's brought a sense of weariness into your life. And often when we're down and when we're in that situation, we think of praise, I think, primarily as the sacrifice of praise. So when we're going through those situations in life, that we're going to offer our praise to God, which honors him, which does honor him to praise him in those situations. But what I'm hoping you get from this message today, that it's not just a sacrifice, but praise may be the way through what you're experiencing. It may be the thing that helps lift you out of that weariness that you're experiencing in your life. And have you considered that? And so this week, I'm hoping that you'll enter into praise. If that's you, I'd love to hear from you. If God speaks to you this week and moves in your life, let me know. I'd love to hear from you of what he's doing, your testimony. And this week, as you go, if you go on our website later today when we post the sermon, and there's the life group questions that you can click on at the bottom of the sermon posting there. I've put all the Psalms of praise, not all of them, but most of them, into our life group questions for this week. So they're attached to the bottom. So you don't even have to go find them on your own. But I encourage you this week just to read and to pray through those Psalms of praise this week. If that's you, if you're experiencing a weariness or a heaviness in your life, enter into praise. Remember his benefits and let him lift you up out of your circumstances this week. So I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to close with a worship song together. And as we worship, I hope you'll think in your own mind of all the things that God has done for you, all the blessings, and just give him thanks as we pray and praise together. So let's just pray. Father, I thank you so much for how you've fearfully and wonderfully made us. Lord, that you have designed us for praise, not to satisfy your own narcissistic needs, Lord, but God, because it benefits us, it lifts us out of where we are. Lord, it lifts us out of our weariness. It lifts us out of our sin. It reminds us of who you are and what you've done. And it draws us close to you and makes us like you. And God, we want to be like you. And Lord, we praise you because you are who you are. Lord, you are the uncreated one. God, you are perfect. You are loving. You are just. You are kind, far beyond what we could imagine. God, and we want to be like you, and we praise you for who you are this week, Lord. And I pray that you would just fill us with your Spirit, renew us in the Spirit this week, God, as we praise you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship together.